From WIPR in Baltimore, I'm Tom Hall. Welcome to Choral Arts Classics. Tonight, we continue our 14th season of Choral Arts Classics with a conversation about one of the most beloved pieces of choral music in the entire canon, Maurice Durufle's chant-based Sublime Requiem. We'll listen to a recording of a performance that the Baltimore Choral Arts Society gave last season, and I'll be joined by Ray Sprenkel, the composer and musicologist, who is a great friend of mine and of this show, and a well-known lecturer on all things musical. We'll talk about what makes Durufle's masterful setting of the Requiem text stand out as a favorite of conductors, choral singers, and audiences alike. Hello again, and thanks for joining us for Choral Arts Classics. I'm Tom Hall, the music director of the Baltimore Choral Arts Society and the host of Midday here on 88.1 WIPR. So glad you could be with us tonight, as we have done for the past 13 years. On the last Tuesday night of the month, we get together and we listen to and talk about great choral and vocal music. We sample recordings and live performances of the Baltimore Choral Arts Society and special guests. I appreciate your tuning in and joining us. It's my pleasure now to welcome back to the program Ray Sprenkel. He served on the faculty of the Peabody Conservatory of Music for many years, and if you're a music lover, chances are very good that you've heard him present lectures about music for organizations like the Shriver Hall Concert Series and many others. Back in the day, he hosted a music program on WIPR's predecessor, WJHU Radio. We all remember that program with great fondness. Ray Sprenkel, we remember you with great fondness
nice
as well.
To be here. Nice to
good to
be
see
here.
You again. Yeah. So last month, we talked about another beautiful French requiem, the French Requiem by Gabriel Fauré. This month, we're talking about Durufle's Requiem, and again, another major piece in the canon from another product of France, about 60 years after the Fauré Requiem, which was written in the late 1880s.
Yeah.
This written kind of around World War II.
Yeah.
But let's go back a step even before Fauré and Durufle.
Right.
When did it become commonplace for composers to start setting the Requiem Mass to music?
Well, we talked a little bit about Mozart last time. My contention, I think, I can't think of a major Requiem before Mozart, to be quite honest. I really do think it starts there. And it's kind of hit
there
or miss.
There were some in the Renaissance, yeah. Ockeghem and right. Lassus and people
way
like
back.
That. But they are not,
it's not
in repertory. Yeah.
They're really not. And Missa de Profundis, a Mass for the Dead, is the term, and you can find publications, but not a lot of concerts of it. But my goodness, Mozart is big business.
Yeah.
But it's hit or miss after that. I mean, the more you think about it, you know, Beethoven, as you said, I mean, we all know, didn't write a Requiem. Schubert didn't write a Requiem. Hector Berlioz did. My goodness, and what a force of nature that piece is. And Giuseppe Verdi in the 1870s, and then Johannes Brahms. All of this is the setting of the Catholic Ordinary, as the expression goes. And then Johannes Brahms comes along with a completely different concept, with a piece of music, the Deutsche Requiem, which puts him on the map. I mean, I think that Viennese critic Hanslick championed that piece and said, "Here's the heir apparent to the great Viennese school." Finally,
It wasn't his symphonies that made him famous. It
wasn't
his chamber music. It was his Requiem, which he wrote in memory of his mother.
Of his mother, there's no doubt about that.
As Gabriel Fauré alleges that he wrote his, maybe not.
But the
difference again between the Durufle and the Fauré Requiems is that Fauré was a church organist at the Church of the Madeleine in Paris. Yeah. And he wrote that piece for performance at Requiem Masses of his parishioners.
That's right. It was a working piece.
It was a functional piece.
Right.
You know, it's fairly short. It's about 30-some minutes, the Durufle Requiem, a different ball of wax. Completely. Wrote this for a national radio broadcast dedicated to his father.
Durufle. Yeah.
But after the Second World War. Mm-hmm. So this was broadcast internationally all throughout Europe. A place that had just endured this, terrible, terrible years-long hardship. the same words,
pretty much,
generally speaking, much. As Fauré's Requiem. Although there isn't, we talked a little bit about this last month. There isn't a real standardized version of the Requiem text when it comes to musical settings. There is a standardized version when it comes to the liturgy in the Catholic tradition, but composers have played with it a little bit.
Yeah. One of the things we didn't say about Fauré is Fauré, he even leaves words out. You get the impression that if he didn't like the word, he would just not set that word.
Yeah.
I'm not aware that Dorfle did that, but these things happen.
There's a few little phrases in the Dorfle Requiem that aren't included in the Fauré setting. But clearly Dorfle drew
on there's no question about
Fauré's inspiration in a lot of ways.
I like the joke that he must have had a copy of Fauré's Requiem on the keyboard.
Yeah.
He runs out of ideas, he goes and consults Fauré. That's terribly unfair because Dorfle's Requiem is its own work, and it has great virtues and much to recommend it, my goodness.
All right, well, let's listen to a couple of movements. Let's start with the first and second movement. This is the introit and the Kyrie of the Dorfle Requiem. Maurice Dorfle, his beautiful music here on Choral Arts Classics.
Thank you.
Music by the great French composer Maurice Durufle here on Choral Arts Classics, the opening two movements of his Requiem, Opus 9. We heard the introit and the Kyrie. The Choral Arts full chorus and orchestra performed in a concert at Krausauer Auditorium on the campus of Goucher College last November. You're listening to Choral Arts Classics here on 88.1 WIPR. I'm Tom Hall. I conducted this performance, and I'm joined tonight in the studio by Ray Sprenkel. The Kyrie of the Durufle Requiem is truly one of my favorite moments in all of Western music.
I understand. I understand. It's competitive with anything I can think of.
Yeah.
Just by itself.
It's just the structure of it, the way it builds, the way it increases in intensity.
Yeah.
Against the words, you know, are also standard in the regular ordinary of the Mass. In other words, any Mass setting that you hear by a composer, be it Haydn or Mozart or
Palestrina,
are going to have those words. Kyrie eleison, Christe eleison, Kyrie eleison, a Trinitarian.
And here's somebody
Lord have mercy, Christ have mercy, Lord have mercy.
The 1940s setting these words, which have been set, I don't know, for 800 years?
Yeah.
They're not more.
They're sort of timeless words and done in a very timeless way. Now, one of the timeless, the way he achieves timelessness, Durufle, is by calling on Gregorian chant,
plain chant,
for the inspiration for many of the melodies.
I agree. Yes, there's no doubt about it. And that does separate it from Fauré's Requiem, which Fauré does not do that. So there is that Gregorian overtone, which just runs all the way through Durufle.
And by the way, for folks who, you know, haven't thought about this for a while or maybe have never thought about it, what do we mean by Gregorian chant? What are those
Gregorian
things?
As I understand it, the reason why we call it Gregorian is after Pope Gregory the Sixth, or some such, who established a school of cantors, the Schola Cantorum in Rome, sometime in the 6th century, and they took Roman chant, which was peculiar and unique to Rome, and spread it out into Europe, sending someone who had learned it everywhere in an attempt to sort of instill some kind of uniformity in the celebration of the Catholic Mass.
Because what was happening is that different localities were doing it in vastly different ways.
Listen, don't quote me on that. I learned that long time ago.
Me too, but that's as I understand it as well. And again, neither of us are Catholic scholars, but I mean, for the priests and the scholars
I understand
who
he was also a battlefield general.
Well, very possible. But, you know, what they were trying to do is, as you say, have some uniformity so that anywhere you went.
In Christendom, you would experience
the same
thing. And
you would hear the same thing.
Yeah, that was the goal. And so it's come down that this business, it's really plain chant, I think properly called, but so many people call it Gregorian chant. That's a phrase that may be disappearing in our lifetime, Tom. I don't know if the next generation is going to know it that way.
Yeah, but the chants were, you know, specific melodies assigned to specific words.
Yeah,
and so
most
every
of
time
it,
you heard those words, you heard those tunes.
And most of it's French.
Yeah.
Our sources are French, and so it's fitting somehow that a French composer, Durufle, would base his work on French plain chant, medieval plain chant, Gregorian chant, the Requiem chant.
Yeah, and the experts coming from France. Well, let's listen to a little bit more. This is, again, more music, a few more movements from the Durufle Requiem. We'll hear Domine Jesu Christe. We'll hear the Sanctus. We'll hear Pie Jesu. That's a soprano, or rather a mezzo-soprano solo, which Janet Kreitz will sing. The Baltimore Choral Arts Society full chorus and orchestra playing music of Maurice Durufle here on Choral Arts Classics. Music of Maurice Durufle. We're listening to and talking about his beautiful Requiem tonight. We've heard Domine Jesu Christe, which featured the baritone Jesse Blumberg. We also heard the Sanctus for chorus and orchestra and the mezzo-soprano aria Pie Jesu with soloist Jana Kreitz in this recording of a live performance. I'm Tom Hall. You're listening to Choral Arts Classics here on WIPR. I conducted the Choral Arts Society Full Chorus and Orchestra at Krausauer Auditorium over on the campus of Goucher College last November. My guest tonight is the musicologist and raconteur Ray Sprinkle. So Ray, it's interesting, a couple of other parallels that you can't help but notice. Fauré in his Requiem, again, the one that we talked about last month here on Choral Arts Classics, wrote a solo for the Pie Jesu for a soprano.
Yeah.
Durufle writes one for the same set of words for a mezzo soprano, and then the Liberame Domine a section that we'll hear a little bit later again for baritone solo in both the Durufle and the Fauré Requiem.
Yeah, it's another reason for saying I joked before that when Durufle was composing this, he had a copy of Fauré's Requiem.
Yeah.
You know who else might have had a copy of it when he was composing his Requiem is Lloyd Webber. Because the Pie Jesu of Lloyd Webber. Yeah, that's the only thing I can think of from that.
I love
but that has its roots in this French Requiem business of Fauré and Durufle.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, these are highly influential and consequential pieces
consequential,
of music.
I think.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's interesting that Fauré divides his text into seven parts, seven movements.
Yeah.
Durufle takes essentially the exact same words, but divides them into nine movements.
Yeah.
So they each have a different take. They each have a different approach to how they're going to divvy things up.
Yeah, and I think people, careful listeners, will hear the harmonic differences between the two composers. That's really a point of separation. Like the first segment you played, the introit and the Kyrie. It seems to me that Durufle is harmonically in one place when he writes that. And then starting with the offertory, harmonically, he is in the world of Debussy, Je, and Ravel at Ravel's most experimental. Bearing in mind when Durufle wrote it, I don't know that we talked about this before, Tom. I don't know that he ever resolves these harmonic worlds. The Lux Aeternum seems to go back to the character of the opening of the Requiem. But when you get to the end of the Requiem, you're not quite sure. I'm not quite sure where I am harmonically.
Yeah.
What can I say?
And of course, the organ plays a prominent role in both the Fauré Requiem and the Durufle Requiem. We talked last month about the fact that Fauré himself, a terrific organist, Monsieur Durufle, not so great an organist himself, but his wife was incredibly
gifted. And that's accurate. And as I understand it, Durufle did leave us 10, 12 organ works.
Yeah, wrote a lot of organ music.
Of the highest rank. And Fauré did not. And it's just a shame because Fauré wrote a lot of music. He just didn't write any music for organ.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Well, Durufle did, although he was the first to admit that his wife played much better than he did. But as we keep hearing, as we continue our little peregrination through the Durufle Requiem, the organ plays a very prominent role, particularly in the Sanctus, which we just heard. So let's move on and hear a couple more movements. This is the Agnus Dei and the Lux Aeterna,
which you just mentioned.
Yeah, fantastic music. This is the full chorus and orchestra of the Baltimore Choral Arts Society. Two more movements from Maurice Durufle's beautiful Requiem here on Choral Arts Classics. on 88.1 WIPR. It's Choral Arts Classics. This is music by Maurice Durufle. Two movements of his sublime and comforting Requiem. We heard the Agnus Dei and the Lux Aeterna. My guest this evening here on Choral Arts Classics is Ray Sprenkel. I'm Tom Hall. Ray, before we go, interesting, we talked last month about how when Fauré wrote his Requiem for his church, the Church of the Madeleine, for funerals of his parishioners, he wrote a small orchestration, which was later expanded on at the insistence of his publisher.
Yes.
Durufle goes exactly the opposite way, doesn't he?
It's the opposite. He starts out with the big piece, and then he writes, this is 47, I think, and then in 1948, he publishes a so-called organ version, which is a church musician's version, and then as late as 1961, you know, we were alive then, he publishes a John Rutter-esque version, a small orchestra.
Yeah, John Rutter, the composer who published the reduced orchestration version of the Fauré. So we are doing in this performance this reduced version. It's not just for organ, but the organ, as we said, plays a prominent role, but it's organ and small orchestra.
Yeah.
So there's no flutes and clarinets and bassoons and stuff. It's really just basically strings, a couple of trumpets and some timpani.
Harp.
So it's interesting how one of them started small and got bigger, and this one started big because it was commissioned by a publisher, you know, who wanted to sell a big piece. It was done with a big orchestra and an international radio broadcast. We're doing the smaller version. I like the smaller version. I've done them both, and I like the smaller one because I think there's a transparency, especially with all these chant melodies that you get to hear that you don't necessarily hear with the big version. So it's beautiful music. Let's finish up now and hear the last couple of movements from the Durufle Requiem. This is Liberame Domine. And again, like the Fauré Requiem, Durufle has a setting that includes a baritone solo and then the concluding movement, In Paradisum, in paradise.
It's like two pages.
With the angels. Yeah, it's very short.
Very short.
But it's gorgeous and beautiful. So Ray, always good to see you. Thank you so much.
Nice. Thanks for asking.
And we'll see you soon.
Okay.
So here we are with music of Maurice Durufle, the Liberame and the In Paradisum from his Requiem on Choral Arts Classics. the final two movements of the Durofle Requiem. We heard baritone Jesse Blumberg as the soloist with the Baltimore Choral Arts Society Full Chorus and Orchestra in Liberame Domine, and the Choral Arts Full Chorus in the concluding movement In Paradisum. We've been listening to a live performance recorded at Krausauer Auditorium in November of last year. I'm Tom Hall. I conducted that performance. That'll do it for us tonight here on Choral Arts Classics. If you'd like to hear the Baltimore Choral Arts Society live, you'll have that opportunity this weekend. Just in time for Halloween, the Full Chorus and the Reading Symphony Orchestra will open the 51st season of the Choral Arts Society on Sunday in a program that features a new piece by local composer Jonathan Leshnoff, based on texts by Edgar Allan Poe. It's called Dark Bells, and it will feature the principal violist of the Choral Arts Orchestra, Peter Minkler, who commissioned the piece, as well as Andrew Constantine, who will conduct the Choral Arts Chorus and the Reading Symphony. The program will also feature music by Rafe Vaughan Williams, his Flos Campi, and a wonderful motet for chorus and orchestra by Johannes Brahms called Schicksalslied, as well as his Tragic Overture. We'll be at Krausauer Auditorium at Goucher College, 3 o'clock Sunday, that's the 30th of October, to connect with details about the concert. Please stop by baltimorechoralarts.org. Also, when you visit baltimorechoralarts.org, you can order Choral Arts CDs, including Christmas at America's First Cathedral and a recording with jazz legend Dave Brubeck. The next edition of Choral Arts Classics will be in December. It's a special live concert from the Baltimore Basilica. It's a tradition here on WYPR that we've had for many years. Our Christmas with Choral Arts concert will be broadcast live here on 88.1 at 7:30 on Tuesday night, December 6th. We'll share beautiful music of the holiday season with you that evening. I hope you can join us either at the Basilica or here on the radio. You can hear Choral Arts Classics on the radio or on demand. Go to WIPR.org and catch up on shows you may have missed or shows you'd like to hear again. The producer of Choral Arts Classics is my good buddy Luke Spicknall. Thanks to Luke for his help, and thanks to you for tuning in tonight. I hope you join me tomorrow at noon for midday here on 88.1 WIPR. I'm Tom Hall for WIPR and the Baltimore Choral Arts Society. Thanks for joining us on Choral Arts Classics.